glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, February 16th, 2026. We're continuing with messages through the book of Mark. Today we're hearing from Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, and we'll be looking at Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 45, where we'll learn about the importance of prayer, God's incredible power, and the importance of spending time with Him. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
So as we start this passage, the last couple weeks, the guys have done such a great job of leading us to this point, whether it was the calling of the disciples, Jesus basically saying to a group of people, hey, follow me. And in following me, Adam talked about last week, is our following of Jesus is not just us trailing behind him, it's us submitting to his authority. And in this passage today, both of those things are going to be very evident. But before we get there, I just need to point one thing out is, in my life and in all of our lives, when hard things happen, the question is, where do you turn? Sometimes, like, when such hard things happen that you know you don't have the answers to, actually, most people in culture, when, like, a massive crisis that they know they can't fix, they know the government can't fix, what they do is, even if they don't believe, they cry out to God. Because when something is so big that you know you can't figure it out and you don't trust anyone else to figure it out, we cry out to God, like, we pray. Now, the reality is the unfortunate aspect of that is, in the things that we think we can handle, and the reality is we can't, we don't cry out. In this passage today, you have the Son of God, like Jesus, like the creator of the universe, y'all. You with me? And in this passage, it starts with him, Jesus himself, crying out to God. It starts this way. It says, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. So everyone's asleep. Everyone's tired. They're all camped out. You've got the male disciples, the female disciples. You've got everyone around Jesus. He's crashing either on the ground in a tent. I don't know. Maybe in a hammock. Who knows? But the reality is he wakes up that morning and he knows that actually what's more important to him than an extra 2, 3, or 4 hours of sleep is he needs to connect to his father by himself. He needs time with his dad. You with me? And so he goes out and he prays and says this, he departed and went out to a desolate place and there he prayed. This is the first thing I just need to point out is if God himself took time to connect to his father, like sometimes as I'm going out the door with my coffee and my Bible verse in my hand, maybe that's not sufficient. Really, what I'm saying is when I was a kid, my favorite athlete was John Elway. I love that dude. Came into the league in 1983, wouldn't play for the Colts. Sorry, Colts fans. Ended up in Denver. I had family in Greeley, Colorado. So every year as a kid, I would go to Greeley, Colorado for a week. My dad always lined it up that we would actually go to Colorado during the Broncos training camp. I remember as a young kid, I wasn't very old, like 6 years old, going to John Elway's first training camp in Greeley, Colorado. And every single year until I was in high school, I would go there for a week and I would sit there for hours every day and watch John Elway. Like I shook his hand once. I did. It's cool. My hand was smaller than his. Imagine that. My little Lego hands didn't add up. But the reality is I watched him. I knew his stats. I knew that his dad's name was Jack. I knew that his dad was a college coach. I knew he traveled all over the country because his dad would get fired and go to different jobs because he was a coach. And I knew that he went to Stanford. I knew that after he went to Stanford, he was drafted by the Colts, ended up maybe going to play for the Yankees, which was also my favorite baseball team. Sorry, I didn't say it out loud, but I did. And then he ended up with the Denver Broncos. And I loved him with the Denver Broncos. I remember watching him lose the Super Bowls. I remember watching him win the Super Bowls. And I'm telling you, I knew all of his stats. I had all of his cards. I have his rookie card. I remember the year he won the MVP. And I'm telling you what, I knew everything about John Elway. But hear me, how good was my relationship with John? Like lots of you that are Illinois fans, you know the stats of the players. You listen to the coaches give coach talk and you look on social media and think you have some inside look, which is funny. And I'm just, but you think that you know Like, I'm not messing with anybody, me too. Like, but in order to have a relationship, you not only need to know about them, you need to spend time with them. You need to listen to them. In a marriage, when things get busy and you're running in different directions and you're all hauling kids, you're hauling life and you're traveling and your interaction is just what you're going to do that day. And there's never a moment where it's like, hey, what's going on in your world? How are you feeling? What, like, if there's never a conversation where you can go both ways in a conversation and listen and act and encourage and cry, guess what? That's not a relationship. It's like a cohabitation to raise something. It's like what you do with a vet. And that's not me making fun. Listen to me. I spent years doing it. But I'm here to tell you today that what Jesus desires for you is unity. He desires for you to spend time with him every single day in intense moments. But then the rest of your day, it's you're taking the kids. You're going to work. But if I never take the time to listen to my Father, last week we talked about the authority of Jesus. In this passage, you're going to be the authority of Jesus. Do you know why Jesus had authority? Because he was connected to his Father. Every time he did a miracle, what did he do? He pointed to his Father. And if you want to walk in that authority, you want to walk in that power, you want to walk in that comfort, you want to walk in that peace, it doesn't just happen on a Sunday chilling with me, and it doesn't just happen listening to a song on a radio. It happens with you, like, sitting at a table, talking to him, reading about him, and then just saying, hey, God, I'm just going to give you some time just to speak to me. And it's not easy at first, but the sooner you can figure out your own craziness, you can figure out what is him. Because hear me say, he wants to talk to you. He wants to journey with you. It goes on and says these, we're like all these different kinds of passages, like I'm the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And with me, you can do all things. Another way I look at it is in Simon and those who were searching for him. So Simon wakes up in the morning, is like, hey, who's cooking breakfast? Who's going to throw the bacon and sausage? They don't eat bacon and sausage. They're Jewish. It's fine. Who's going to eat the hash browns or unleavened bread or whatever? That's sad. Really, I mean, you think about it. I know that it's not healthy. The Father had good things in mind, but man, ain't nothing like a little bacon in the morning. And Simon and those who are searching for him, and they found him, and this is what they said. So they look for him, look for him, look for him, look for him. Then they find him, and this is what they say to him. They say this in verse 36. They say, hey, everyone's looking for you. And not looking like, hey, where's he at? Like, everyone's like scattering and searching. It's like a scavenger hunt to find Jesus. Why were they searching for him? They were searching for him because they wanted something from him. That's also a different kind of relationship. It kind of sounds like Santa. Now, I'm not saying I don't want things from Jesus at times, but I'm telling you what a real relationship is Jesus, what do you want from me? Who are you? And man, Lord, I need help here. And the crazy thing is, the more time I spend with him, I change the things I desire from him. In my life, I understand urgency too. Like, this might shock you, but when there's this many people that come to the church, there's an occasionally urgent problem. And in that urgency, hear me say, I desire to meet the needs of God's people. I desire to meet the needs of people who don't know God. Like, I desire to do everything I can to love, to serve, and to walk with you. And I desire the same thing with my wife. I desire the same thing with my kids. I desire the same things with my boys that I work with at the university. Like, I desire to serve and love y'all. I really do. But this is one thing that I found is, in my life, when I do that with my own power, when I do that with my own strength, I run on empty pretty quick. The reality is, to think that I actually have something to offer you is honestly a tiptoes on craziness. Like, I'm going to say that again. To think that I, Jason, a 48-year-old, broke-down-bodied pastor, have anything to really offer you, honestly, y'all, that's crazy. Like, why would you come in here? Really. But if I spend time connecting to the Father and the Creator of the universe, the Savior of the world, the sustainer of life, the one who's going to rescue us. And like, we like tight, like I'm here, I ain't over here, I'm right here. Then y'all, I speak with authority. In my marriage for a long time, I thought just my love for her was enough. But the reality is we spent a decade or two running on empty. But then when I realized the only way I can love my wife, the only way I can love you, the only way I can love you is if my tank is filled by God, my tank is filled by the Holy Spirit, then you know what? I got some love now. And not only are you going to experience the love that I have by my presence, you're going to experience the love by the things I say and do. I'm actually going to know what to say to comfort you versus, now, how do I do that? Hey, family, I know you desire to be good husbands and wives. I know you desire to walk in purity and singleness. I know you desire to be good workers. I know you just like, I know none of us want to stink at life. Well, the number one thing is not try to figure it out. It's try to build a relationship with the one who created life. The only way I can be who I was created to be was to spend time with the one who created me. And sometimes that's, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you, I get it. I got so busy doing, I forgot to be. And he'll whisper at you for a while, and then sometimes he'll just break your neck now. He'll put a herniated disc up in there, and boy, I'm telling you what, you spend some time with him then. I wasn't taking no phone calls for a couple weeks. It was me and him. And I'm telling you what he said. He said, I need more of you. I need more of you because they need more of me. And I'm telling you, he wants more of you. Not because he's selfish. It's because he wants to set you free. He wants you to experience life the way you were created to live it. And you're not going to do it figuring it out with Google and ChatGPT, y'all. You're going to do it knowing the one who formed you, who loves you, and who wants to journey with you. It goes on in verse 38 and says this, and he said to them, let us go on to the next town that I may preach there also, for that's why I came out. Like, the reason I came to this place is because I wanted to go to other places to deliver the good news. See, Jesus didn't come to build an army. He came to spread the good news of Jesus. This is what he came, to repent the kingdom of God is here. Like, he wanted everyone to know that he was the one that offered grace and truth, but it's only found in him. He needed everybody to know it. He needed to know that I want relationship with all the people. And when he went throughout Galilee preaching in their synagogues and he cast out demons. So the authority that Jesus walked in, I just need you to know this. Jesus was God. When the Father looks in the mirror, who does he see? That was your moment. At least a couple of us are awake today. When the Father looks in the mirror, who does he see?
Jesus.
He sees Jesus. But Jesus didn't walk on this earth with an S on his chest as Superman. It tells us in Scripture, Jesus clothed himself in humanity. He walked on this earth as a dude. And he was so connected to the Father. Every time he did a miracle, who did he give the glory to? Not his own deity. He gave his glory to the Father who gave him the Spirit of God. Jesus was teaching you, teaching me how to walk. It's not that I can't walk like Jesus. You won't be perfect, but you can walk like Jesus because the same Spirit that's on him, that is him, is the same Spirit that dwells in you. And in all throughout Scripture, it teaches us that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says these words about Peter. It says, they just were a bunch of ordinary dudes who'd been with Jesus. If I was going to get a tattoo, actually there's two ones I'd get. One is a national championship, hasn't happened yet. Actually there's three, sorry. I have zero right now, I'm just being honest, I'm a truth teller. The second is, every knee shall bow that wraps around my knee. I think that'd be awesome, but I'm afraid my kids would like tattoo their whole body if I did one. And the third one is this, brother's just an ordinary dude, but man, he's been with Jesus. Man, someday when like you're kicking dirt on my grave, I want you to know, like, man, that dude's been with Jesus. There's nothing extraordinary about me, but I'm telling you, there is something extraordinary about the one that I chase after, like my life depends on it. That's the reality. And that's what he's saying in this passage. He says, I came out to bring the kingdom of God to this place. Bringing the kingdom here is not like, he didn't want clubs and swords. He wanted love and compassion and mercy and grace and truth. This is why truth matters. It's not to make you feel bad. It's to restore you to who you're created to be. Did you hear that? Like when we walk in our own stupidity and our own selfishness, it doesn't allow us to be who we're created to be, and we constantly live in desperation. Y'all are thirsty. With me? We're hungry. But when we walk with him, we're whole. And that's what he's after. He wants you to be whole here. He's going to make you whole, y'all. But he wants to bring heaven to earth now through us. The passage then goes on in verse 40 and says this, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will you make me clean? This is the picture. Jesus is teaching in other gospels, like in Matthew and in Luke and John, the way it describes this passage is this. As a leper would walk in the room, like if a leper walked in the back door right now, and all of you were standing and I was sitting, because that's how they used to roll. The leper would walk in, and you up front, and you'd hear a faint noise, and the faint noise you would hear is this, unclean. And then the closer the leper would get to you, the louder it would get. So it'd start with unclean, 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 unclean. And as the unclean got close to you, what y'all going to do? You're going to move because you don't want any of what he got. And you are separating, and lots of you in the room are like, it's like, hey, like, why are you here? You're supposed to be outside the city. Like, why are you bringing that in here? Leprosy is certain death. Literally, your body falls into decay. Literally, leprosy is described as death. It's like, literally, your skin dies and your body, like, then you die. Like, you're bringing death into this place. Like, get out of here. We don't really understand it. The only way we kind of can is during the COVID, like, situation, there was moments that sometimes it kind of felt that way, but it was different than leprosy, y'all. But as this person comes walking in this room, like he's shouting unclean, and like, why are you here? What are you doing? Get out of here. And this brother walks all the way up, and then Jesus walks out to meet him. But I need you to picture this. This guy, no one talked to. He was absolutely, like absolutely not seen. And really the only words anyone ever heard from him were what? Unclean. Ever just felt like not seen at all? Or like too dirty to be in a place. Or like because of your past, because of your present, maybe even because of what your future you think holds, you think there's no way the purity of God would ever want to like interact with me. And this is what Jesus does. First off, no one had ever healed leprosy except for God himself. And so for the leper to ask Jesus to heal him, what is he saying? I believe you're God. Moved with pity or compassion, that's the word. And you know how you develop compassion? Like, this is a real thing that God's teaching me is, I care about people. I have compassion. I move with pity when I've experienced the same pain they've experienced. It changes us. It says he's compassionate. He's moved with pity. He's like, and you know that with compassion usually comes the miraculous? Like, if you don't have compassion, usually God's power doesn't pour out. Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hands and it says these words. He touched him and said to him, I will be clean. I will be clean. And immediately leprosy left him and he was made clean. When Jesus comes down to see him, Jesus walks down to see him. And as he walks down, he says, be clean. What's he do? He heals his emotional and physical ailments. He heals his physical ailments. But when do you think the last time this brother got touched was? Man, let me tell you about not being touched. I remember my grandmother. She was 99 years old when she moved to my parents' hometown. My grandfather died when she was 53. And she lived in a small town all by herself because she wouldn't leave because she was stubborn now. And every time I would drive through to see Lacey's family in Nebraska, I would stop, I would see her, I would take her out to eat. I would drive her back and forth. We spent lots of time together in a car. And I would call her and say, hey, Grandma, tomorrow I'll be there. And this is what she would always say. She said, man, I can't wait for my hug. And I was like, Grandma, I don't know why my hugs matter. She goes, Jason, the last time I had one was the last time you were here. I'm a hugger, y'all. I'm going to hug you, and then you're going to say, don't hug me, and I won't. But until you tell me not to, I'm going to bring it in. You know why? Because some of you don't get hugs. Just a touch heals something in us. You with me? And I think Jesus saw this dude, and he saw the leprosy. He saw the darkness. He saw it, y'all. But he's like, oh, bro, you need a hug. And then he cleansed him. He made him clean. And how can this happen? Like Tyler and I talked this week, and the holiness of God and the fact that Jesus is life conquers death. And leprosy is death. And so when life touches death, life overcomes. And that's what happened in that moment. Jesus was willing to take death to bring life. And that's what happened in this moment. So this dude is geeked up now. Like, all of a sudden, he ain't got no leprosy. All of a sudden, his body don't hurt. All of a sudden, his face is back to normal. Like, it's like, who's this cat? And then Jesus says to him these words. And Jesus, like sternly charged him. He's like, hey, bro, don't tell anybody. He says, tells him and send him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Like, don't tell people what just happened. But go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. So Jesus says, don't tell anybody, but I want you to go to the temple. I want you to go to the religious place. I want you to do your cleansing. Do you know what happened when the brother showed up at the temple and he said, hey, I've just been healed. Like, remember me? And they're like, you're a leper. He's like, not no more. I want to do my cleansing. I want to do the ritual. And these brothers are like this. I promise you, they're like, we don't know that one. You know what they'd never done? That one. They'd never performed that ritual. Why? Ain't no brother ever been healed of leprosy. Why did Jesus want that? It was a subtle announcement to a group of religious people of this. Oh, the king is here. The king is here. It also was a subtle reminder to the man who'd been healed, God did this. But then this dude does what we do. Let's just be honest. Jesus says, hey, don't do this. Like, don't tell nobody. Imagine no one talking to you for 20, 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden you got a crowd around you, and all of a sudden you start chopping it up, and you say too much. Never been there? I have. Another thing that happens in your life and in my life is we see Jesus and how good he is, and we think that we know better than him. We don't say it that way, but he tells us to actually listen to him, and he asks us to walk with him, and he asks us to spend time with him. But most of the time, we figure out the one thing about him, and then we just go do what we want to do. We try to do good stuff. But in our trying to do good stuff, sometimes we manipulate, sometimes we maneuver, sometimes we like rationalize our things because the end is better, right? Like, man, if this is where we got to go, how do I maneuver them? Maybe I know those things because I get convicted of a season in my life when I knew the ideals of God, I lived by the ideals of God, and I just tried to get other people to have the same behavior. You know what that ended in? Mistakes, pain, and struggle. But if I listen to God and I react the way God wants me to react, it's actually kind of shocking how good it works. I don't know about you, but sometimes I say too much, and sometimes I don't trust him in marriage, him with children, and him with you, and him with athletes. And in the end, me doing good isn't always me doing what God wants. And what happens? Damage. Now, the cool thing is he's a father who loves us still. He has grace on our big mouths. And it ends this way. This is the effect of it. But when he went out and began to talk freely about it, like the one thing Jesus said, like, bro, just shut her down. And he spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. Well, Jesus couldn't even go into the towns anymore. Oh, but I can help Jesus. Like, let me tell you, like, I'm going to be a voice piece for Jesus. I'm going to post this for Jesus. Are you sure that's what Jesus wants you to post now? Or is it like, I want to post this. I can find a Bible verse that agrees with this for Jesus. And we think that we're doing something for God, but if it doesn't bring the reconciliation of humanity, my guess is it's not for God. It's for my view of what I think God wants. Because I have a tendency, when I do what God wants, cool crap happens now. When I do things that Jason wants, I leave like a path of destruction around me. How do I know that? By spending time with him. That's how I know. If I don't spend time with him, how can I walk in authority? I have authority. So do you. The creator of the universe. I don't have to search for him. He's in me. He could no longer enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter, every place. They were looking for him. Hey, family, I think today when you look at this passage, it's interesting to me that when Mark wrote it, he started with a moment. Why do you record it? Why do you record Jesus was late for breakfast? Does that make sense? Like, you think about the whole Bible, Jesus being late for breakfast isn't top news. The leper being healed, I get why it's there. Jesus being late for breakfast because he's praying, my guess is he did it a lot. So why? Because actually that mattered more than the healing of the leper, because that's where the authority came from. Hey, family, the creator of the universe knows your name. The creator of the universe, even though you feel dirty, you feel broken, you feel unclean, 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 he makes you clean. And he wants to awaken your understanding, awaken your ability to walk in the Spirit of God. And he does that through time. He loves you like crazy, y'all. Let's spend some time with him. He's not hard to understand. If you spend enough time with him, if you know who he is, pretty exciting journey.
It is an exciting journey that he desires all of us to be on. I think of James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. And if you want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends link, and you can listen to the program anytime. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.